terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Most of you know this. I tend to like to wind down Saturday afternoon. Don't do a lot Saturday evening because I know what's coming ahead. And my body isn't 25 years old anymore. So even though it's not sin to go anywhere on Saturday, I'm not saying that. Please don't do that. I have to, and I don't want you to sound holy, I got to consecrate myself regarding that. Because I have to be able today to give of you with all that I got, the gift that God gave me. And I recognize a long time ago, certain things in my life, not yours, can hinder me in that. So I take those steps. Some people look at me like I'm a whack job because I have this machine, you know, that filters movies. Okay, swear words or whatever else. And they look like, I know, I understand. I didn't say you had to do that. For me, I have to consecrate myself in that area, all right? People don't look too highly of it when Pastor smashes his thumb and goes blankety blank. That doesn't send me to hell. I'm secure in Christ, right? It doesn't make me less Christian than anybody else if I did that. But I know I have a gift of give of myself. I know God's called me to walk in this. So for me, please hear me. For me, that's what I choose to do in my home. Okay? You have to figure out, because I'll show you the response to this, how you consecrate yourself to the Lord. All right? But you have to become a God. God, if you got, because watch the outcome. Watch the outcome. I got to give this to you and you'll see the motivation. Listen to this. Consecrate yourselves. For, there's a reason. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. See, it's not that God can't do or can't do. No, and he says, I'm preparing you for the great stuff I have in store. It's not about salvation. It's not about being holier than somebody else, more religious than somebody else. It's about God says, I got stuff for you. I want to do things in your life. I want to use you to achieve things for my kingdom. And therefore, consecrate yourselves. That has the individual concept, not just as a people. I get this a lot. Man, back in the day when godly people roamed the earth, 1930, 40, whenever it was they want to talk about. Why don't we see the things that God used to do? Because everything they used to do, you call legalism. You want the results they had without doing what they did. You want the results that, if you remember that little old, I do, in our church when I grew up, the little old lady, she had a hanky. She'd hold in her hand like this. And she would just be worshiping. She'd start praying, woo! Now, as little kids, we called that the Holy Ghost. Because that's what it seemed like us. Okay? But you, the senior saint, boy, if I prayed as much as she did, maybe I'd woo too. But the woman was always praying. Okay? I can't expect to see in my life when I don't do what others do. If you don't study the Word, you go, I just don't have the knowledge that Pastor does or Matt has or so-and-so has. Yeah, because it's not going to absorb into your brain by osmosis. You actually have to read it, study it. I gave you a bunch of tools on that recently. You have to do that. However that works for you. I remember somebody trying to tell me, you weren't really listening to God's Word unless you prayed in the morning. Because they were morning people. Well, look at David says, early in the morning, I wrote, you don't have to pray in the morning. Your prayer can be what fits you. Okay? But there, God expects us, we're involved in the sanctification process. All right? It's not, I'm saved, I'm in, sit back, relax. Because I'm going to tell you, you weren't saved because you were wonderful. You were saved by the grace and mercy of God because he has called you for a purpose. Read Ephesians. All right? He has, just like the Israelites, consecrate yourself for tomorrow. I got something that's going to happen. You're involved in the process. And God says, I work in the earth through people. I pick a guy named Abraham. I pick a guy named Moses. I pick a guy named Joshua. I pick a guy named Samson. I pick a guy named Samuel. I pick a guy named John. Every one of them God called to do something. And we participate. God's going to do what he does. But I think here's what happens. Is we get, it sounds selfish, but we get more out of what God does when we are sanctifying ourselves. We are working on that consecration. My parents, they see God in everything. That's where they live. Other people, I see amazing things happen, and they don't see God at all. They think it is coincidences, circumstances. They got the raise because they're so talented, kind of thing, all right? But it isn't. When many people walked across that Jordan, all they were worried about was getting their stuff across. For them, it was another day. Yeah, ooh, that's cool. Yeah, move on. Matter of fact, one guy decides to steal stuff from Jericho, right? I'm sure there, but others, I don't know about you, if I'm a priest standing out there with a couple hundred pound ark on my shoulder with the three other guys, and I got to stay in the middle till a million people cross, I'm praying the whole time. I remember that Dead Sea. I was just a kid, but I remember the Red Sea thing, and I don't want to be in the middle when it collapses. Okay? But there's others who just crossed. There are many of you that will sit through a church service, and we've all been there before. I think we've all been there before. The other person, the other people around you, God's manifesting himself in them, and you're going, man, this is like a desert. Now, sometimes that's the sovereignty of God. Sometimes that's how we've prepared ourselves for it. And I'll ask you this, don't answer. Do you prepare yourself to receive on Sunday? Let me tell you, you won't receive unless you prepare yourself to give. I don't mean money. Don't do that to me. When you prepare yourself to be used of God in worship and the people you walk, when you go, you prepare yourself. We'll move on. I'll beat this to death. Okay? But I want you to understand, this consecration saying is a heart attitude that manifests itself in actions. It's not actions done on the outside. If I do, I put that in the offering, I raise my hand a certain way, I sing on a certain key, and I dress a certain way, then I'm in. No. It comes from the heart, and it manifests itself in actions. And I'm not going to take that apart. We can go to James and talk about that. But before he did anything, he says, consecrate yourself, because I'm going to do great stuff. Okay? So here's the point. When you see the ark go, let me put it this way. When you see God move, then you move. It's not you move and ask God to help you. We see this later when the warrior appears and Joshua goes, whose side are you on? And what's that angel of the host of heaven say? Arguments whether that's, I ain't on your side. I'm on mine. When you see the ark, representing the presence of God, what is in there? I told it to the kids. Your memories aren't that short. Manna, commandments, and Aaron's rod. So you have the word of God, the commandment of God, the law of God. You have proof of God's provision in the middle of the desert, manna. By the way, when they cross the Jordan, manna stops. We tend to think when we're in the promises, when we see the manna, but no, you're getting there anyway. And then Aaron's rod that budded. I want you to remember, this is the same rod that swallowed the Egyptian magician's snakes. There was rebellion in Israel. You remember the story, a guy goes out on the Sabbath and he collects wood on the Sabbath and they know the law. The law's been written, but they want an exception to the rule because my case is special. I mean, I hear this kind. And what do we do? Well, Moses knows the law, but he goes to God anyway. God says, take the guy out and stone him. Moses comes back. He doesn't say God said. He says, stone him. Why? Because it's already in the law. Stone him. They stone him. The leaders do. Then the leaders complain. Korah, those guys. Who made you the person who could judge like this? They don't understand. It was God's law that was judging, not Moses. So the earth opens up and swallows all these guys. Good Bible story. You want to tell it to your children. And then the congregation says, whoa. And these are the elders. These are the leaders. These are the church founders. They're this kind of thing. What is with this? Moses turns to Aaron and says, man, as fast as you can, run to the tabernacle and burn some incense. In that amount of time, 14,700 people die in a plague. That's a fast-moving plague. I don't know how fast Aaron ran, but that was still a pretty fast-moving plague. And so to do this, God says, now you take everybody from every tribe. Listen again. Every tribe has a leader now. They're to take their stick. That's what it is, a stick, a staff. and you put it into the tabernacle overnight, and we'll see what happens. What happens? Aaron's rod buds and produces almonds. A dead stick brought forth life and produced fruit. So Jesus is the fulfillment of all the things in that thing. He's the fulfillment of the law. He is our provision. And he brought life from death. But on top of that, that part right here, anybody know what that's called? The mercy seat. What happened on that mercy seat once a year? The blood of the sacrifice was poured on top of that. So is the cloud the pillar? We talked about this when we were in Exodus. The cloud and the pillar is setting over that mercy seat. As it looks down upon the law, what it sees is the blood. Come on, that'll preach. And it's called the mercy seat. He sees the blood of the sacrifice instead of the breaking of the law. Hebrews 12 puts it this way. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. No, you understand. It's my faith. If I have enough, God will. Tell that to the people who were praying for Peter to get out of prison. You know the story? I'm sorry, I'm going today, but right? Peter's still in prison. They all pray. Peter, an angel, leads Peter out of prison. He shows up at the door, knocks on the door. Little girl, land servant girl, answers, hey, it's Pete, shuts the door. And that works out well. Runs back inside, tells the disciples, Pete's at the door. What do they say? We don't believe you. Wait a minute, I thought it was their faith that made God move. No, they didn't have. They prayed. They were obedient in that, but they didn't really believe Peter was going to get there. But he's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that brings the same way with the sanctification, the consecration. You will put forth what you can, but you can't get there. It's not salvation we're talking about. That's none of your work. We're talking about walking out. You put your part into reading of God's word, the Holy Spirit and Jesus will do its part to bring it life to you. You take your time to pray. God's the one who will bring life to that and bring it to completion. But the ark, the presence of God, who Christ is the picture of, keep your eyes on Christ even when your back is killing you. But you're keeping your eyes on Christ. That's where you focus. And I think sometimes we get wrapped up in a bunch of other stuff. Like, it is interesting to me. Let's say Glenn's visiting church for the first time. And I ask him how, we were going to church A. All right? And eventually I ask him, well, what moved you from church A? 90% of the time, it ain't because they had his eyes on Jesus. He had his eyes on you and them and the preacher and that and this and there, and we get off focus. Now, that's not always the case. I'm not saying if you're new to the church or you've been, that was the case. God uses things to move us on. But if you find yourself critical of the people that are sitting behind you because their kids are too noisy, you got the wrong focus. Uh-oh, I went to meddling there, didn't I? So it's when these guys, though, notice the difference here between the Moses part. Remember, Joshua's call is to be what? Strong and courageous. Now let's just take the river at its, the modern river with all the flow. Let's just take that. Here's what I want you to do, guys. I want you to step into that with that ark on your back. That don't just take faith, that takes courage. Not just faith. All right, but at this point, it's when you put your foot in is when you'll see action. Now, that's speaking to me clearly in this, and you'll forgive me, especially those that are listening out there and you're not a member of this church, but that is speaking clearly to me about this time of shift. It's going to take something where we act in obedience. I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea right now, so don't think I'm trying to take you somewhere. I just know this, that God's speaking to me. It's going to be one that you're going to have to stick your foot in before you see something. Have you ever been there? Where God says, you got to stick your foot in before you see, okay, at flood stage. That's the only picture I can find. It's a kid's story picture of the priest heading that direction. So these guys stick their foot in. Again, they stand in the middle, and we learn in this chapter, in chapter 4, that they collect, each member of each tribe collects a stone and leaves it there with these guys in the middle. All right, we'll find out what they do with that stone. But these guys got to step into there, and they stay there, comparative again to the story with Moses crossing the Red Sea. Joshua breaks about every rule in the book in this story of Jericho. OK, okay, and we'll get there. But I wanted to put you in this little picture here, and if you recall, that's the little picture of Jericho that I showed last week, sort of put in there. And the town of Adam up here is 80 miles from right about down here. 80 miles, the Bible says, it backed up. Now, this area is prone to earthquakes. And in the 20s, they had an earthquake that clogged up the river there around near Adam, okay, for 3 days. The problem is, this doesn't say it's an earthquake. It says the water piled up. So I'm not into the earthquake theory, okay, because the way the Bible describes it, I could be wrong. But I'm telling you, when you're in Jericho and a river disappears, you can't see 80 miles away. Far as you know, the river's gone. Not coming back, far as you know, if you're sitting in, all right? 80 miles, why 80 miles away? I'm not sure. There is a bridge up there, by the way, now you can go up to, that's at that same place. But 80 miles away, the Bible says it backs up there, and no water flows all the way to the Dead Sea. Wow. About 130 kilometers, if you wanted to know, like you care. And this is the point I want to sort of bring to this. And so as you talk about consecrating yourself, as I talk to you about maybe a transition, a shift that God's doing in us, if you're in a place in your life where everything's at flood stage and you can't see how it can happen, this is what God tells these fellows to do. Once everybody's crossed, I want the leaders to go back down into the river. But I just got out of there. And you want to go back down there and get your rock. Grab hold of your rock. Are you awake this morning? Grab hold of you, and I want you to bring it out here. And I want you to set them up in a pile. And now we're in chapter 4, verse 20. Those 12 stone which you had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal, which means to roll, all right, or wheel. And he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask of their fathers in the time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? You shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord, your God, dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord had done at the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I understand it took faith for y'all, Israelites, to get in here and walk across, but it wasn't just for you. It was for your children. It was build a memorial stone to what God has done. We see this over and over, whether it's Bethel, whether it's where Jacob saw the ladder. They build a memorial. Let me put it this way for you. You rehearse the great things God has done. Okay? So you're facing something in your life, a financial, a health, whatever. You need... Don't put me in the word of faith camp now. But this is, faith comes by? Hearing what? The word of God. That's right. So you take the word of God and speak to yourself, if you will, and those around you, and remind your children, using the word of God as best you can, what God has done before. Why? Because Jericho's coming. I want you to set up stones for just you and every generation after, to remind you what God has done. Now, I want you to do this just for a minute. Just take a moment, and I'll actually stop talking, give you a second to think. When God saved you, what did he do? Don't get me started. Have you put up memorial stones for your children, your grandchildren, for those around you that can remind them what God did for you when he saved you? That doesn't count all the other times he did something in your life. He met a financial need, he touched a physical or emotional, whatever. Just one. Just take one. when I walked from here, crossed here, a gap I could not bridge on my own. God already said to the Israelites, you're gonna. All right? But God's the one who made the way for them to cross from here to here. I want you to, could you right now make a verbal memorial stone of what Christ did for you? If you can't, you need to pick up a rock from the middle of the Jordan and put it out there. Let me put it this way. You got to ask yourself, what did he do to me? What did happen to me? What is the difference between that side and this side? What, and then be able to articulate it in a way that you could look at your child, your friend, your neighbor, the other one, and say, you know, I know this. I was lost, but now I found. I was blind, but now I see. In your words. Let me tell you this. If you put up your memorial stone every day this week, I'll guarantee you something will be different when you walk in the church door on Sunday. When you start singing, I've been set free. Yeah, you'll have an under. But what we do is we get so used to being Israelites. Oh, I remember the Red Sea. Ah, this is just like the Red Sea. We get so used to seeing what God does. We're so used to be Americans, we don't know we're blessed. That's true. We're so used to having a Bible in our hand, we can't imagine that we didn't have any and pastor have to translate it into a language for me every week. You mean when you crack that Bible open and say, God, thank you, that is not in Latin. Thank you, God, that you and I can sit here at my kitchen table, in my recliner, in my bed at night, whenever you, and you and I don't have to do this through a man because there is a mediator, the man Jesus Christ, whoever sets to make intercession for me. I thank you, God, that you and I right now, I don't have to do that. I would suggest you, that's a little commercial, that's why we don't know what the Reformation is. We forgot to thank God for it. You began to build your memorial stones. In your men, gentlemen, listen to me, fathers, need to be doing this in your household. Oh, dad's telling that story again. Dad's talking about again what God did for him. No, you need to be so your teenager eyes roll back in their head and they go, oh no, here goes dad again. Yeah, but when you die and they're doing your memorial, guess what story they're going to tell? I remember dad saying. Here's another memorial stone. I just know I'd get up and get ready for school, and there's dad at the kitchen table. I'd be going off to bed at night, and I'd get up to go use the restroom, and there's mom on her knees again. Those are memorial stones. But I want you to notice this, though. He said to the Israelites, consecrate yourself. God's not going to zap you and go automatically. You just fall to your knees every night and pray. Your flesh is going to say to you, read the Bible. I mean, I'd have to get up 15 minutes early. I'm so tired in the morning as it is. That's what's going to happen. But you need to build. Our country is where it is because the generations before forgot memorial stones. And churches became places of social gospel. Came places where you can come get yours now. Get your 60 and 100-fold. Get your stuff. Because we forgot to tell it was all God to begin with. It didn't count on how much you gave in the offering or how much. It's God. God's the one who brought me from there to here. And now that I'm on this side, he has a Jericho, a place for me to conquer, things for me to do. So I'm going to get ready for that, and I'm going to build these memorial stones. So when I go to do what he's called me to do, I remind myself he did it before, and he'll do it again. So therefore, I offer my prayers and petitions with, you've heard me say it before, with thanksgiving, not and. I don't tack it on. It's with. I now talk to him about where I'm at now with thanksgiving about what he was, what he's done. Yeah, the next time you sin, I want you to thank him for what he did when he saved you. and see if there's any more condemnation for what you had just done. No, that'll deliver you. That'll set you free from condemnation. Oh God, I'm sorry. I repent from that, God, but I thank you that you redeemed me from all my sin before I committed one, while I was still a sinner. Before time began, you were... You got to have, though, and I'm giving it to you in a practical sense, you got to build practical memorial stones. For you, for what God has ahead, and for those who come after you. I wish we were allowed to continue those memorial stones in public schools, and we'd really know how our founding fathers felt about God, the Bible, and religion in public places. But we threw out the memorial stones, so now we could twist the history to say something it never said. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for these stories in the Word that speak to us about trials, difficulties, flood seasons. And God, even like that doesn't make sense. It may not make sense to where we are today and what you're calling us as individuals or our body to, what you're asking of us, God, it may not. But God, I know this. You've placed a stone in my life where I can call upon you and speak to myself and those around me of the great and mighty works you have done. Even just the one, saving me alone is enough. God, I pray that you will open the minds of those who hear this message to understand that we are called to be people of thanksgiving and praise, and there you inhabit as we speak of what you have done. We are built up and encouraged for what you will do, Lord. And then we will walk in more courage and more faith, that your name then would be glorified in our daily walk. To your name we pray, O Lord. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.